So last week, what did we learn about?
Yes. Taking advice.
Taking advice. Listening 101. Remember that? What does the fool do? Someone tell me, what does the fool do? What?
Not listen.
Yeah, absolutely. Doesn't take advice, thinks they already know it all. The wise person isn't actually the person that thinks they know everything. The wise person is the one who realizes that they don't and wants to know more. Today, last week it was listening 101, and today it's speech 101. Have you guys ever taken a speech class? Who's taken a speech class? Yeah. How many of you absolutely despise speech class? All right. Yes. It can be fun. It can be fun. Speaking is actually something that when I was a wee child, very scared of. I know. God has a sense of humor. We're going to be talking about how do we be wise in what we say? Has anyone said something dumb before? All right. Have you ever said something? Have you ever said something and you immediately wished, "Oh, shouldn't have said that. Wrong time, wrong place, wrong person." Right? Absolutely. All of us have done that. Well, today we're going to be talking about what does the wise person do with their words? Because words are very powerful. Look at this Proverbs 13:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What's that saying? Words are very powerful. Words can build up, words can destroy. And, the whole sticks and stone things is garbage, right? That's a lie. Words can hurt, words can build up, words are very, very powerful, and death and life are in the power of the tongue. So how do we, as Christians, as followers of God, speak in a way that shows that we fear God? We're going to look at that tonight. And I want to start, again, at the very beginning with the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is what makes it different than any other system, way of thinking. It begins with our relationship with God. So when we think about talking, speaking, our words, what's the foundation, the fear of the Lord foundation for this issue? Well, in Proverbs 8, 6 through 9, this is wisdom speaking, metaphorically, but in Proverbs we do know that wisdom was in the beginning with God, that God, the wisdom is sourced with God. And so here, wisdom is speaking, and so in a sense, it's almost as if God is speaking. It says, "Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. My mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips, and all the words of my mouth are righteous, and there is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge." Near the end of the book, Proverbs 30, verses 5 through 6, says, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." So really, to follow God is to love truth, isn't it? It's the words of God are true, and the words of God bring life. Those are the kind of two main characteristics of God's words. They are true words, and they're life-giving words. The words of God are dependable, and they're trustworthy. And so when we look at our speech, we need to start with our relationship with God and ask, does my speech reflect my fear of God? What do I know about God? What do I know about His words? What do I know about His valuing of truth and His and the rightness of His words? I want my words to reflect that. So we're going to look at four pointers that the Proverbs gives us when it comes to our words. And the first one is this. Watch the quantity of your words. Have you ever just said too much in a given situation? Anyone, when you're nervous, like, just talk more than you need to? Right? When I'm nervous, I shut up, right? Like, I can't talk when I get nervous. Now, some of you, when you get nervous, you just might start, your words just start kind of running away from you. It depends on the day. That's true. Yeah. Right, right. The very first thing, the pointer that we see in Proverbs, is the quantity of your words. The distinction between the fool and the wise person is how much do you talk. All right. Now, that's not saying if you're talkative, you're a fool, and if you're untalkative, you're wise. That's not what we're saying. Right? Basically, the trajectory, if you were to make a line, if this is fool going to wise, then words slowly decrease as wisdom increases. And honestly, that's why even in James it says, don't be many teachers, because you're going to be talking a lot. And the more you talk, right, the more you're accountable for that. So even the wise person who is giving wisdom, it needs to be very, very careful about how much they talk. So if we were to look at foolish Alberto again, right? There he is. And if we looked at how does he use his words, right? It's real simple. It's just blah, 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 blah. All right, so what does the Proverbs say about the quantity of our words? Here's just some Proverbs we can look at. First of all, Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. In other words, the more words come out of your mouth, the greater chance that you'll say something you shouldn't. He says the one who restrains his lips is prudent. You know what that means, restrains your lips? It means there's things that you want to say, but you restrain your lips. There are things that, ooh, man, I really want to say that to that person right here in this moment, but not going to. That's what restraining lips is. That's a wise thing to do sometimes. When words are many, the more you talk, the greater the likelihood that you'll say things that you shouldn't. Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life, and he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. So this is the picture of someone who just has no filter, who just says whatever is on their mind. The wise person will guard their mouths. They're able to discern what they should and shouldn't say. The fool will simply open his mouth and say whatever they're thinking. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked just pours out evil things. So you see the contrast. Pondering versus just pouring out. Is there a delay between what you think and what you say? Or is it an immediate... Now, some of you are just uber thoughtful, like sometimes to the point of overthinking, right? And that delay between what you think and what you say is like 3 days, right? That's kind of how I am. And so, ponder, think, be intentional about what you say. Here's some more. Proverbs 17:27, whoever restrains his words has knowledge. And he who has a cool spirit, that's not saying like, I'm cool, right? That's saying like, not heated up, cool, calm, like, whew, chill, right? The person with a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool, I love this verse, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Someone can be just a complete idiot, right? And if they just keep their mouth shut, right, someone would be like, man, that guy seems really smart over there, right? Like, if you're not wise yet and you want to look like, there's like a little life hack for you, right? I'm not wise, but I want people to think I'm wise. Just don't talk, right? And so it's saying, how often do you speak? The more you speak, the greater the chance that you'll say something you shouldn't. Proverbs 21:23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Now, these Proverbs aren't saying that you should never speak. Instead, it's promoting thoughtful, wise speech. So this isn't elevating the introvert and, you know, condemning the extrovert. It's not saying if you talk a lot or it's easier for you to talk, you're somehow more foolish. The command is to both types of people, right? The introvert can say a lot of foolish things, as can the extrovert. Whoever we are, wherever your personality, you need to be intentional and wise about what you say. Put a guard over your mouth. Wait to talk. Choose not to, even when you want to. And part of the reason why maybe the wise person doesn't talk as much is because they're too busy, as we learned last week, listening and learning to talk more. As James says in the New Testament, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So the wise person is intentional in what they say, but how do we know what to say? If we're going to say, oh, let's put a guard or a filter over my mouth, what gets past the filter? How am I intentional? Let's ask some questions to know what's wise speech. What questions should I ask myself as I try to decide, should I say this or should I not say this? All right, so let's go to Wise Alberto. All right, there we go. Okay. All right, so the first question he will ask is, real basic, is it true? All right, that's where we should start. Before you say anything, you ask yourself, is this truth? We need to see, are we valuing truth over lies? So watch the truth of your words. Proverbs 12:19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. 14:25, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies. A truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. A man of crooked heart does not discover good, and one with a dishonest tongue falls into calamity. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. You know, why do people lie? Why do we lie? Raise your hand and tell me, why do we lie? Oh, sorry about that. My bad. Yes. Okay. Yes, Abel. Why do we lie? What's that?
Maybe to get out of.
Okay, good. All right. And why do we want to get out of something that we did? Why is that important to us?
Obvious
reasons. Okay. Yeah.
We lie for personal gain.
Very good. Yes, Addie.
To protect ourselves,
right? Is that what you're going to say?
Self-preservation of our own image.
Right. Yes. What else? David. Oh, very good. Sometimes it's much easier to lie than to tell the truth. Absolutely. Any other thoughts? Why do we lie? Yeah.
Because we're scared.
We're scared. And it's almost that defense mechanism thing. We're afraid what might happen if we tell the truth. Why do we intentionally misrepresent or twist the truth? Often because we're trying to use our words to maximize our own benefit. It's a love for self with no fear of God, right? So you see where you remove the fear of God, who is the God of truth. And with him not in charge, who's in charge? Me. And so I'm going to say and do what helps me the most. And these proverbs show us the characteristics of falsehood and what happens. You know, we lie and deceive if it makes us look better. Right? Sometimes we'll do that. You add lies to that story to make you look more impressive or to make someone else look worse. You'll lie or deceive if it protects your reputation. I never did that. Or I never did that to you, when you're fully aware that you did do that, right? And you're like, no, you must be thinking, I never did that. I never said that. You'll lie or deceive if it keeps you out of trouble. You know, lying about cheating on schoolwork or deceiving your parents about what you were doing with friends when they weren't around. Things to preserve your reputation or to keep yourself out of trouble. We use our words as tools, as an instrument to protect ourselves, to promote ourselves. But when it's your heart to fear God and love others, then the words you speak are true words. Because these verses say that the truth builds up. Truthful lips endure forever. So we need to have true words. So the wise person is going to ask, is it true? Before they speak. And if it's not true, they don't talk.
Silence, Alberto.
But there is another question that they ask. They don't just ask, is it true? That's not enough. They also ask, is it the right time? Did you know that it's possible to say a true thing at the wrong time? Absolutely. So consider the timing of your words. And this is like next level wisdom, okay? This is step two. This is speech 102. This is the next step, right? You say what's true, and then as you grow and grow in wisdom and knowledge, you grow in your ability to watch the timing of your words. The goal is to say the right words in the right moment. Proverbs 15:23 says, "To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is." So, true word in season, at the appropriate time, at the right time, that's what we're going for. This is the goal. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. This is, you know, just chef's kiss. Mwah. This is what we're going for. Pick the right words, true words, at the right moment. Watch the timing of your words. It's possible for us to say truth in the wrong place, in the wrong time. Sometimes we think, well, as long as it's true, it doesn't matter if I say it. Like, I can say it. If it's true, I can say it. Not necessarily. Don't speak before you hear the whole story. Proverbs 18:13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it's a folly and a shame. Right? Maybe you're giving advice to somebody, and you've only heard one side of the story. Wait. Don't give advice yet. Don't give an answer. Proverbs 29:20, do you see a man who's hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. We don't want to speak a truth at the wrong time. Look at these proverbs here. It says in Proverbs 26:7, like a lame man's legs, which hang useless, is a proverb in the mouth of fools. A fool lacks the ability to speak truth to the right person at the right time, making the proverb ineffective. Right? So the truth is there, like legs are there, but lame legs don't work. Right? They're ineffective. And so you can have the truth in your mouth, but if you aren't wise, you're not using them effectively. A couple of verses later, it says, like a thorn that goes up into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. So it's possible to speak truth at the wrong time. Here's some fun proverbs here. Don't try to encourage at the wrong time. Do you know you can encourage at the wrong time? Yeah, you can, absolutely. Most of all, any time prior to 8 a.m. is not the right time to encourage. It's biblical. Proverbs 27:14, whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as cursing.
Wow.
That's in the Bible. Did you know that? So, what's it saying here? What's this verse saying here? Now, it's not saying you can't say anything nice in the morning. That's not what's going on. It's saying you can have well-meaning words, right? Blessing your neighbor. What's wrong with blessing your neighbor, right? But lacking social awareness to discern, will this be obnoxious right now? is this going to be a helpful thing in the moment? Or will that blessing be heard as a curse when the person hears it, right? And so, again, does this take discernment? Does this take wisdom? Yes. And so, we slow down with our words. You know, if there's someone that you know is just not fully human in the morning, right? And you know for sure that if you go up and say all these cheerful things to them, it's going to get on their nerves. You don't want to sit there. Just wait. Wait until they've had their coffee. Then you can talk to them. So, don't try to encourage at the wrong time. Proverbs 25:20. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda, which reacts, creates an explosion. What's that saying there? Someone's mourning. Someone has a heavy heart. You come along all cheerful and happy and you're like, come on, let's sing a song. Let's be happy together. Wait. No, that's not what they need in the moment. Maybe you need to mourn with them first. Maybe you need to sorrow with them first, to come alongside and be a comfort to them. So it's just this discernment thing. Just because it's true doesn't mean it's the right moment. Wisdom considers the timing. Sometimes we think as long as it's true words, it doesn't matter when or how I say it. That's unwise. Ask yourself, would this advice be more effective if I waited a little bit to speak? Or is this thing the thing they need to hear right now, or is there a more immediate need that I should meet first? Discernment, wisdom, consider the timing. And this just goes to show why it's so important just to think before you talk. Right? Consider, ponder your words. Because sometimes you can say the true thing, but not at the right time. And then finally, the wise person, he watches the quantity of his words. How does he do that? He asks himself, is it true? He asks, is it the right time? But there's one more question. How should I say it? How should I say it? So we need to consider the effects of our words. Consider the effects of our words. Let me get my notes here. Here we go. Consider the effects. Words have power. So consider what your words will do to the hearer? What impact will it have? Proverbs describes wise words as bringing healing in life. And so we need to consider how we are speaking. Some Proverbs here, and I'm sorry, I actually don't have these on the PowerPoint, so you can jot these down, listen well. Proverbs 12:18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So this is what happens when you don't wisely consider your words. They become like sword thrusts. Here's another proverb that talks about how we should speak. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger. Right? This verse is talking about the manner of your talk. Not necessarily the content, but how you're speaking. You can say true words, and it could be the right moment for it, but you could either say it gentle or harsh. And if you see it gentle, it turns away wrath. If you say it harshly, it stirs up anger. How you talk matters. The volume of your voice matters. A tender response is more effective than a harsh response. Another proverb, Proverbs 15:4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. You know, when your primary motivation is to help the listener rather than be proven right, it will impact how you talk. There's a difference between thinking, this is what this person needs to hear right now, and I want to be sure that this person hears what I say. I want this person to get what I'm trying to communicate. That shows love and consideration for the other person. And when you love and consider the other person, then it impacts how you communicate, right? It communicates even the volume, the manner in which you talk. Wisdom considers how we speak. The wise person, in summary, will say the right thing at the right time in the right way. Whereas the foolish person will just say whatever that comes to their mind. It doesn't matter. If I'm thinking it, I'm saying it. If it hurts the other person, deal with it. That's their problem, right? Or I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to say what's on my mind, and they're going to have what's coming, right? That's not wise talk. So, you know, let's just take some of these proverbs and kind of go through this process here, right? Let's say Alberto here is in an argument with Alberta. Okay. And, all right.
Oh, no.
Yes, I know. Conflict.
They're not a perfect couple.
They're not a perfect couple. Yeah, you haven't met Alberta yet, but she's a piece of work. No. Yeah. All right, so let's say that they're in a conflict, and.
Got no billboard for this?
Nope. And let's say that there's something that needs to be said. And Alberto's thinking, what should I say in response to be the most constructive? Right? Yes, first of all, is it true? Maybe Proverbs 14:25 comes to his mind. A truthful witness saves lives, but the one who breathes out lies is deceitful. Right? So he wants to make sure it's true. And then he asks, is this the right time? And he thinks, if one gives an answer before he hears, it's a falling shame to him. So maybe even in this argument, I'm not hearing the whole story. So before I respond, I need to step back and consider. And then, as we just saw, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Am I responding in wrath? Am I responding in anger? Or am I gentle? Am I loving, even in how I talk? And so if you ask those, I guarantee you, if you ask these three questions before you say something, you won't talk as much, probably. Because how many times do we say things that are, number one, deceitful, number two, out of place, and number three, not in a very kind way? A lot of times, right? But as we ask these questions, it slows us down. It makes us consider and think, wait a minute, how am I reflecting God, my relationship with God, my fear of God, even in how we talk? I mean, we all mess up in our words. That's the thing about this lesson. And I say this because I do it all of the time. I mean, I've got three small kids, and I can't tell you how many times I've said the wrong thing in anger or frustration or impatience. We all mess up in our words. We say too much. Sometimes we say too little. Sometimes we say the wrong thing. Sometimes we say the right thing at the wrong time and the wrong way. And what we see tonight is this, is the goal, right? This is the picture that we've painted of what wise words look like, and we're not there yet. That's why Proverbs says, you know, your best bet is just not to talk so much, right? If you're not there yet, even a fool is considered wise when he keeps silent. So focus on hearing, focus on learning, focus on growing, focus on the fear of the Lord, and take stock of how you're using your words and what their impact is on others. And as you think and ponder, you can use your words to give life to people. Words are powerful, right? We said that at the very beginning. Words are super, super powerful. So use them. If you don't say anything at all, right? If you take this and say, okay, the advice I got from tonight is don't talk ever. Well, then you're missing out on a lot of opportunity, right? God gave you the opportunity to promote life, give life and encouragement through your words. So use that effectively by asking those three questions. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for helping us, giving us your word to show us how we might live to serve and honor you. Lord, you say in James, the tongue is a fire, a world of deadly evil. And with it, we bless God, and with it, we curse men at the same time. And we've all tripped up in our words. We've all said things that we shouldn't. Lord, I pray as we pursue wisdom, as even in the study, as we've looked at going from simplicity and experience to wisdom and prudence, pray that our words would reflect that goal in our lives, that we would use our words to build up, that we would use our words to promote truth and show love to others. We thank you, Lord, for these questions that we can ask to make sure we are being intentional with our words, and help us to be a blessing to each other in what we say. In Jesus' name, amen.